I'm shutting down Louise. That's a bad pastor here. We're continuing our series on Mark, and Louise is reading our next section as we're working through the Gospel of Mark from now all the way through Easter. And so we'll get a chance to read through this whole book, supposedly the first gospel written, one that is really fast and quick and sparse in language, but rich and expansive in meaning and invitation. So as Louise continues, as we begin to hear about the work of Jesus in chapter 1, I invite you to listen for the word of God.
The scripture today is from Mark 1, verses 21 through 45. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirit, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word. So Jesus could no longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. Thus is the word of the Lord.
As we continue in Mark, as we've said, I want to remind you of last week. We looked at the very first verse, which is pretty basic and simple, but a good reminder. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, if you were here, maybe you heard me explain that the word gospel, Evangelion in Greek, your Greek word for last week, means good news and gospel. But back in the day in the ancient world, it meant a victory. It is this picture right here is a picture of the man who supposedly ran after the Battle of Marathon in ancient Greece. He ran from Marathon to Athens to say that the war was won over the Persians, and then he collapsed. Too bad, because he has a really good body after running 25 miles in this picture. But he runs all that way in this story and gives this euangelion, this message of victory. And what Mark is saying is that Jesus is this message of victory. That is good news. It's what we call gospel. But Mark is insisting that the message is a proclamation of victory over the forces that seek to diminish life. And we see that in this huge section we read today, but this rush of work as Jesus begins his ministry. And it is important for us to remember as you start this book that it is rooted in all of the faith of Judeo-Christian faith. That it goes back to the first words of the Bible, which, anybody remember them? In the beginning. And the Gospel of Mark starts with the beginning. So he's obviously playing with words to remind us. And in the beginning, God creates man and woman and creates them in the image of God. From the beginning, the root of our faith is that we are created together in God's image. We are created and intended to be partners with God, to be with God, to be one another, to live as God lives. We are not God, but we are created to be with God in God's image. That central affirmation is underneath everything in today's scripture as we hear all these stories. And the main picture that we have of what this means is this picture from the Sistine Chapel. Now, it's ironic because most of historic art about that we are created in God's image turns out to be rather sexist, if you're surprised. I don't see Eve in this picture, just Adam. And Adam is reaching out his finger and God is touching Adam with the heavenly host and is this sign of connection, of community, of being created in the image of God. But that's not actually, if you read the story, that's not what it looks like according to the story. It looks more like this next picture where God in Genesis 2 creates Adam out of dirt and forms him into a body, and then he breathes the breath of life into that clay body and it becomes alive. And that is the beginning of Adam and Eve. That is our beginning. Our creation in the image of God is with this spirit or this breath of God breathed into us. You can see in the green is the word for breath, which is also the word for spirit, which is also the word for wind in the biblical languages. What makes us unique is that we are created in God's image. That means that we have God's breath of life, God's holy breath within us. As we look at today's scripture, it is all about healings. Did you notice that? All these healings. There is an unclean spirit that's chased off. Peter's mother-in-law is delivered of a fever. And she gets right to work cooking like a good Jewish mom. There is a leper who is healed and is brought back into society when his skin disease prevents him from being around anybody. And then all these untold healings, people that come to the door, so many people that Mark says the whole city was around the door of the house waiting for Jesus to heal when the Sabbath ended. The word pneuma, as you can see up here in the yellow, is spirit, wind, or breath. And the word on the right in green, akartos, is unclean. So when we say that at the beginning the man with the unclean spirit came to Jesus, what unclean spirit actually means is this man has the breath of life, as we all do from God, but that breath is unclean. It is impure. It is adulterated. It is no longer as it was intended to be. This man is no longer what God created him to be. Mark explains and uses language so that this man being turned or deformed or a little adulterated or fallen a bit from what he's supposed to be, that he is in the same state as the mother-in-law who has a fever and is sick. Described in the same state as the leper who has a skin disease and thus deemed unclean and unable to be with the people until he is healed. In the midst of all of this story, Jesus is inviting people to catch their breath, you might say, to re-catch the breath of life that God intended for them. Jesus heals them by renewing, by recreating, by restoring them. The man with the unclean spirit once again has a clean breath. The woman with the fever is healthy again. The man with leprosy is healed and whole and welcomed home. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus himself has to catch his breath, if you caught that. It's squeezed in there that in the midst of all of this action, all of this healing, all of this teaching, Jesus goes AWOL. He gets up before anyone else and his friends wake up. Where is he? Where is he? The whole town's at the door. What are we going to do? And the disciples have to hunt for him, is what Mark says. Because Jesus has hiked away. He's gone on a long hike into a quiet place to be quiet, to catch his breath, to renew that divine breath within him, to remember who he is. It is a rich scripture. I love this scripture with all of these stories tied together. It's an invitation, I think, for us. What I hear in it for us, in particular on this first Sunday in a new year, is an invitation to catch our breath. Now, it's not just making a resolution as we usually do at this time of year, where people either want to stop eating sweets or lose some weight or be better, or as I heard someone say this week, world peace is their resolution. Or someone else said, I'm not going to make a resolution because I'm already all good. I was eating. I tried not to choke on my food. I won't tell you who said that. But it is a challenge. We always want to improve ourselves, be better. I screwed up last year, but this year I'm not going to do it. But that's not what Scripture talks about. It's not what Jesus is about. Jesus isn't going through these towns saying, look at all you losers. If you were just better, you wouldn't be demon-possessed and have a fever and leprosy. He comes to them and he says, I want to make you whole. And I want to renew the breath within you so that you are how God intended you to be. So that you can know how God intended you to be, so that you can tell others and how you live, how God intended all of us to be. I like this poem I read this week in some of my readings about the old and the new, that you have to get rid of the old. You can't just squeeze the new into the old. You got to get rid of it. You can't just squeeze the divine breath into the unclean breath. You got to get rid of it. As I reflected on this scripture this week, I was thinking of how we start each worship service. We actually start each worship service with this scripture, without realizing it, where we pause to catch our breath, to measure our breath. So I want to invite you real quickly right now to just take a deep breath, take a couple, and as you do that, notice what you feel within you. You can keep breathing if you want. I don't hear any noise. I'm afraid you're going to stop breathing. But maybe you feel that rush of energy at times. You can feel all the new oxygen coming in. You can smell something new. You can hear something different. It is represented in this picture where it is a God's breath, spirit coming into us anew. Us catching our breath to remember who we are. To remember how God wants us to be, all possible because of the victory of Jesus over the forces that want to diminish our life. There are plenty of those forces, aren't there? I was struggling this week with some of those forces, thinking of my own body and the pains that I'm feeling. I had my mother-in-law say, well, you know, you are getting old. You need to just accept it. And I said, you're right. I also recognize it in some of the frustrations I have in different relationships in my life where I don't want to forgive people. I don't want to let go of the past hurts. I don't want to let go of how I am convinced that those people have made mistakes. But man, I want them to do that for me. reminded of all of that struggle. That as much as I think I've caught my breath, I still need that Holy Spirit to renew me, to come into me, to refresh me, so that I might live as Jesus lives. So that I might truly live as the image of God in the world. That's not just my prayer. I know it's your prayer as well. And so as we meet and worship on this first Sunday of the month, we come praying and asking for that renewal, that we might catch our breath. We come to the communion table to catch our breath, to be renewed, to eat a new meal, to let go of the old, to welcome the new. Jesus was smart enough to know that we need that all the time. And so it's a meal we don't have just on New Year's Eve, but it's a meal that we have when we gather together. In the ancient times, they had this meal every time that they gathered together to be renewed, to catch their breath together. In this next week, I want to invite you to do a couple of things. Because catching your breath is not necessarily something we all do together, but sometimes we do it alone. As you saw, Jesus in the scripture takes off to catch his breath so that he can pay it forward when he's back to work. So I want to give you two opportunities to catch your breath this week. One is using the spiritual inventory. We did these last week too, so you can still catch up on last week, but you can pick the blue one up is from last week, and the salmon or orange one is for this week. It is a tool for you to use in some reflection and meditation this week about how do you need to catch your breath? How do you want God to renew that holy breath, that clean spirit within you that you might live for God? And so you can do this as a prayer time for you, looking to the coming year. Just as if you did the blue one, or if you want to do it, it's looking at the past year, looking for ways in which God has shown up. The second question is how, it's for you to reflect on how might you pay that breath forward, or share that breath with others, reflect God's healing presence and victory in Jesus, reflect that in our world that also needs a new breath. And so you can reflect on that on your own, but you also can come on up, and I'll leave this up for the next month. But these are some different ways, existing ways and new ways within our church, activities or programs or commitments that you can make or join to catch your breath, that we might catch our breath together and breathe that newness into the world around us, whether that be through continuing in things like our Friday night meal, or some of the other ministries that we do, or looking to be a group, start a group, or some sort of something, to reflect on what does it mean to live this way in 2020 when we know that this election is coming and people are demonizing each other and people are afraid and fighting even within the church. How can we testify to something different? Some other options are starting some spirituality groups that would meet monthly, that would be really focused on catching your breath through spiritual disciplines. And even the white one is, maybe you have another idea. Maybe you have a different breath than I do. And you got an idea that we could do. So those are your invitations today as we worship, as we're renewed at the table, as we're renewed around the word, but also as we go out from this place to catch our breath individually in times of meditation, and also to pay that breath forward in communal action. So as we continue in worship, we come to the time where we sing and respond to God's word. And then as we move to the table, and so as we do that this morning, we're singing this great song by John Bell, who wrote The Summons and many other great songs about healing. And so as we sing and come to the table, I want to invite you to be thinking about how do you need to catch your breath? How do you need to be healed or renewed? How do you long to be refreshed? And to have that awareness as we come to the table to be fed and renewed in the journey of faith. Amen.